1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse number 8. Continuing in the faith is the subject, and the Apostle Paul writing to young Timothy is his preacher son in the faith, challenging him to continue in the faith, not to change, not to go to another doctrine, but to keep the faith. And that challenge is still good for us tonight. We looked at a couple subjects about being aware or beware of false doctrine and false teachers, because they're everywhere. False doctrines, false teachers, false Bibles, and it's everywhere. And so to beware of the dangers that are out there of the false doctrine, and with that, he challenges them to keep the sound doctrine. The sound doctrine, to keep the faith, not to change. We don't need a new doctrine, right? We don't need another new Bible. There's already too many false Bibles out there. Why do we need another false Bible, another false religion? Let's just keep the faith, amen? The Holy Scriptures, keeping true to God's holy word and the church and to what God has commanded for us to do. Beware of false doctrine and false teachers. And then we see the byproducts of the sound doctrine, and that's that pure heart, the good conscience, and faith unfeigned in verse number 5. Tonight we're going to look at the law tonight. The law that God has given to us. Verse 8, and we'll read down to verse 11, which you follow along as I read tonight. It says, "But we know that the law is good if a man use it lawfully, knowing this, that the law is not made for a righteous man, but for the lawless and disobedient, for the ungodly and for sinners, for unholy and profane, for murderers of fathers and murderers of mothers, for manslayers, for whoremongers, for them that defile themselves with mankind, for men stealers, for liars, for perjured persons, and if there be any other thing that is contrary to sound doctrine, according to the glorious gospel of the blessed God, which was committed to my trust." We'll look at the law tonight and how the law is good, as we saw in verse number 8. Let's bow forward to prayer and ask for God's blessing on the time of preaching. We ask you, Lord, to meet with us tonight as we open your word. Thank you, Lord, for the precious word of God. Thank you, Lord, for the glorious gospel, Lord, that was committed to our trust. I pray that you bless this night. Be with our services all on this property and protect, Lord, and Lord, meet with us tonight. We ask in Jesus' name, amen. Look at the law tonight. Noticed a few times in the verses that we read, the law is the rule. The rule. There's many different words for the word of God. If you go to Psalms 119, you don't need to turn there right now, but I believe it's 8 different words that God uses in reference to the word of God, the statutes, the precepts, the commandments, and one of those is the law. I'm thankful that God has given us the law. God didn't just create man and put him on earth and just say, figure it out. Right? You'd think that might be the case when you look around in society, that people are just trying to figure it out, but they're doing that which is right in their own eyes. And they think, you know, what's the big deal about the law? I can choose what I want to do. No, there is a law that teaches us. We'll look at that here in a little bit, but God placed Adam and Eve in that garden and gave them one law, one rule. They didn't need another rule, except they broke that rule. And because they broke that one rule, then later on we get the Ten Commandments. The Ten Commandments that were meant to govern God's people and to govern a nation. Every law and commandment that can go back to any biblical and right law and commandment that goes back to these Ten Commandments that can govern God's people, a home, a school, a country, that God's Word can rule our country. The first 5 books of the Bible is the law or the Torah, God's commandments for His people. And so we see that God gave commandments. So in the garden, God gave one law. Well, of course, they broke that law. And then God gave 10 laws and commandments, and the 10 commandments, and those laws have been broken many times over. You see in the New Testament that Jesus did not come to do away with the law, but He came to strengthen the law. Now, we're not under the law, we're under grace. Thank the Lord for that. He didn't do away with the commandments, and even in the New Testament, Jesus would even say that not only if you commit murder is that a sin, but if you have anger in your heart towards your brother, that it would be considered murder as well. He would take the commandment, for instance, of immorality, and would take that law and would say that it, that fornication, that's a sin. But he would even go further to say that if you look on a woman and lust after her, you've committed adultery already in your heart. So he added to those commandments and even strengthened them. I did not count them up. I did look it up. But in the Bible, that Bible has a total of 613 commandments. I'm sure you know them all by heart. You could repeat them. Say, why are there so many rules? Because there are sinners everywhere. Amen, right? And that's why we have the law that governs, that guides us in our life, that gives us direction, that the Word of God is a lamp to our feet, a light to our path. That's what the law of God should do in our lives. Let's look at a few truths then about the law. And point number one is really the point of the message here. The Bible says in verse number 8, but we know that the law is what, church? It's good. The law is good if a man use it lawfully. God's commandments are good. Amen? The Bible says God's commandments are not meant to be grievous. They're not bad. God's not up there going, ooh, I wonder what laws I can make to ruin their life. I know that's what the students think in school. My teachers just want to make us miserable. They're thinking up new rules. And parents, that's what we do. We sit around thinking up new rules just to, we have nothing better to do with our time than to make more rules for the children. No. But the law is good. God's commandments are good. Amen? They're not bad. They're good. Psalms 1, verse number 2, it says, but his delight, this is the blessed man from verse number 1, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law doth he meditate day and night. The law is speaking about God's word, how we need God's law in our lives, that God's law is good, but we need to know God's law and meditate it day and night. You know that ignorance is not an excuse for not following the law. Well, I didn't know. I've done that before, haven't you? I got pulled over once. I think it was January 1st or 2nd. And we were breaking the speed limit. I honestly thought we were following the speed limit. I did. Within 5 miles. You know. We're under the age of grace, you know? I got pulled over, and I believe we had the police officer that wanted to get his first tickets. He wanted to get them all out, like right away. Pulled us over, and I said, honestly, I thought I was driving. He said, no, you weren't. It's posted. You should know. No grace. No grace at all. I apologize. I didn't know that. You know that ignorance didn't get me out from under the law? I didn't know. If that's the case, you can just, you know, blind your eyes every time you drive past the speed limit and just say, I didn't see it. I'm sorry. He's going to go, well, too bad. You should have looked. And going to write you up anyway. The Bible says this blessed man that's following the Lord, his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. Psalms 19, verse 7 says, the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The law of God is good. The law of God is good for us, and it is perfect. God's law is perfect. Now, man's laws are not perfect, right? We have laws that I think, praise the Lord for those. And other laws, I think, why in the world are they trying to make laws, again, laws that may go against God and His Word? And so we ought to obey God rather than man, because God's laws always supersede man's laws. God doesn't do away with man's laws. He's told us to obey those that have the rule over us. But God's law is good and God's law is perfect. So we see, first of all, that God's commandments are good, but that laws in society are good as well to help govern and rule the people. Why is the law good? The law declares who is in charge. The law declares who is in charge and what the rules of the land are. Let's put it this way and go back to the Bible, that God is our judge, that God is our lawgiver, and that God's laws are always good in our life. Amen? When we come to God's Word and we say, well, I don't like that rule, you're putting yourself over God. And you're saying, well, God, I don't think that you made a good choice here with this law, and I know better. Now, we wouldn't say that, but that's what we're saying if we think that we know better than God, because God is in charge. God sets the rules. You ever tried defying the law of gravity? Right? The boy puts on the cape and tries to jump off the house. Gravity's going to win on that one. You can try to defy God's laws in His Word or the laws of nature, but God is always going to win in the end because God set the laws. You may think, well, I don't like God's law when it comes to salvation. And say, well, I don't believe in a heaven or a hell. It doesn't matter if you believe it, it's still the law. And God is in charge, and we will answer to God. The law declares who's in charge, but also the law defines sin. The law, God's word, defines sin. Today, everyone wants to redefine sin. Or maybe just there is no sin. If you legalize it, it's no longer a sin. If you provide more illegal behavior and habits to people, they won't be more illegal in their life. I think, how dumb is that, right? You know, if we just give them more, then they won't go, no, come on. God's law defines sin. The law of God shows us right from wrong. Aren't you thankful when you come to the Bible? The Bible's black and white. God tells us, thou shalt or thou shalt not. God defines sin in our life. It's whether or not society or politicians or our laws have defined sin, God has already defined sin for us. And with that, the law tells us what is expected of us. Again, I can claim ignorance, but God's law has already defined right from wrong, what is sin and what is righteousness, and then what God's expectations are for you and for me. See, God's law is good. Understand this also, that the law not only defines sin, who's in charge, but the law defines who a sinner is. We're looking at them right now, aren't you? And you're looking at one right now as well. That God's law defines who a sinner is. We'll look at that more in the following points. Have you ever made a dumb decision before, maybe in your younger years, in breaking the law? You did something dumb and you broke the law. You thought it'd be fun and it was dumb and you got in trouble for it. And many times, especially as a young person, you get to driving. You get to driving and you think, this'll be fun. And you realize, oops, now there's a ticket. Now I don't have a car. Or now you don't have a license, maybe, because you broke the law and you realize how foolish that was. You thought it was fun as a child, but now we're at the parenting age where we're getting close to that, to one of our children driving, not the younger ones, of course. And Joel's getting close to driving. We're driving all the time. I'm like, don't do that. Look at what they're doing. You better not do that. And all the time I'm instructing him, it's not. You may think it's fun, but it's foolish to break the law. The law is there to protect you, to save your life, or maybe someone else around you, because the law is good. Following God's law will keep you safe. Amen? It'll keep you safe. You obey God. You're under the umbrella of God's protection. Doesn't mean trials will never come your way, but the punishment that comes from God, or the foolishness of living for the world, when you live for God, it keeps you safe. Under the umbrella of God's protection, you're safe in the hands of God when you're following Him, but also following God will keep you blessed. It'll keep you blessed. When you follow God, you're under God's blessings. See, God wants to bless you, but He cannot bless those that are disobeying. See, as a parent, I do that. I can't reward disobedience. Unless if I want more disobedience, and I don't want that, and I can't reward that. See, God's not going to reward. You say, I wonder why things are going so tough in my life. Now, maybe God's bringing you through a trial to build your faith, but maybe God's correcting you because you are disobeying His law, and God cannot bless you when you disobey Him. We see that God's law is good, but in verse number 9, we see that the law is made for the lawless. Verse number 9, it says this, knowing this, that the law is not made for a righteous man. Those that are obeying the law is not made for them. You know, people, you know, in school, our young men in college, every year they come up with new rules, don't they? You know why? Because more people are breaking the law. They're breaking the rules. And they go, I didn't think we'd have to say, You can't climb on the building and do whatever, but I guess we have to say it because someone is lawless and disobedient, all right? It's not made for the righteous, but for the unrighteous. Any of your names on one of the new rules coming up? Don't call them out. We'll have an invitation later. Knowing this, that the law is not made for righteous man, but for the lawless and disobedient. And it continues, for the ungodly and for sinners, for unholy and profane, for murderers of fathers and murderers of mothers, for manslayers, for whoremongers, for them that defile themselves with mankind, for men stealers, for liars, for perjured persons. That's a whole big list of people that are breaking the law. You look around society and, you know, police car, you know, pulling people over, and you got the, you know, you ever out saying like, oh, a helicopter, oh, they're searching for somebody, you know, watch out. Our first house that we lived in after we got married, and we rented it from my brother-in-law, and I remember one night we came home, and it was much later than we usually would, and we parked the car and parked outside, went to walk in, and here comes a man running by the house, and I thought, that's unusual, and then a policeman running and following him, and I thought, let's go inside, you know. Do I help the officer, or do we just stay safe? We just went inside and stay safe. The law is made for the lawless. It's not made for the righteous man, but for the disobedient, for the lawless. You know, you're either on one side of the law or the other, right? When it comes to salvation, you're on one side or the other. You're going to be judged according to the law for your sin. And guess what? Everyone will be found guilty of sin and condemned to hell if you are weighed by your good works, by your bad works, by the law. But I'm thankful when you're saved, you are not weighed by the law, but by grace, by Jesus Christ and His salvation. So you're either on one side of the law or the other. One group wants to follow the laws, and it seems another group just wants to break the laws. One group wants to strengthen the laws, another group wants to change or weaken the laws. One group wants to add more Bible in church, in school, and in society. Another group wants to do away with the Bible. We need more of God's law, not less of God's law. Amen. We need more of. There was a time again in society, not in my days, maybe in some of yours, where the Ten Commandments were posted in schools and you spent time in prayer to start, where the Bible was the school book to be taught for young people. Well, that's done our society a whole lot of good to kick God and the Bible out, hasn't it? Well, that's why we have a lawless society, because we've kicked God out and they don't know what to do. Let me ask you this. Who is happier, the one that is breaking the law or the one that's following the law? Well, the ones that are following the law. You know, that child is breaking the law and they're just miserable, not happy. And then the one that's following and obeying the law, the rules of the home, well, what child's going to be a happy child? Well, the one that's obeying. Well, let's be honest. If one is breaking the rules, no one's happy, because they ruined it for everyone, right? But in honesty, each person makes their own decisions. The law is made for the lawless. As you look at these verses here in verse number 9, it says the law is not made for the righteous, but for the lawless, disobedient, for ungodly and sinners. And it says this, for murderers of fathers and murderers of mothers. We're going to go through this list here for a few where it is referencing back to the Ten Commandments. Well, the murderers of fathers and murderers of mothers and manslayers, that goes back to commandment number 6, thou shalt not kill. The next one, for whoremongers, for them that defile themselves with mankind, well, that goes back to the commandment number 7, thou shalt not commit adultery. The next one, for men stealers, thou shalt not steal. For liars, for perjured persons, well, that goes number 9, thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. And maybe you think, well, God didn't name my sin. Well, He caught you at the end of the verse. It's good that you asked on that. But it says this, and if there be any other thing that is contrary to sound doctrine, any other thing, you think, well, they didn't specifically say you can't, anything contrary to sound doctrine, that's breaking the law, breaking God's law. And the Ten Commandments, commandment 1 through 4 is about our relationship with God. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. And then you have commandment 5 through 10. That's about our relationship with man. Honor your father and your honor thy father and thy mother. Thou shalt not steal, commit adultery and things like of that nature. Maybe you think, I don't fall under that list. Again, God caught us at the end there. You know this, it pleases God when we keep his commandments. People think, well, I didn't get caught. Well, I just enjoy my sin. It pleases God when we obey his commandments. On the other side, it displeases God when we break his commandments. In 1 John chapter 5, it says this, for this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. John 14, 15, it says, if you love me, keep my commandments. You know how you can show God that you love him? Keep his commandments. Now, no one gets saved by keeping the commandments, but God says, if you love me, keep my commandments. If you love me, just listen to me. Just obey me. God says, why? Because I want to point you on the right path. And we're blessed when we keep God's commandments. We please God, and then God blesses those that keep his commandments. So first of all, we see the law is good. Number two, that the law is made for the lawless, the disobedient. Number three, the important part of the law is this. The law points to the gospel. Look at verse number 11. In this verse, really, it may seem separate, but it really ties into the previous verses. It says, according to the glorious gospel of the blessed God, which was committed to my trust. See, what does the law tell you? You're a sinner. You read the Bible, it tells you, you're a sinner, you've done wrong, you've broken the commandments, you've done that, all right? The law also tells you that because we're sinners, we're deserving of hell, of God's judgment. Well, that leaves us hopeless, unless if it were for the gospel. And it says this, according to the glorious gospel of the blessed God. See, the law tells me that I'm a sinner, that I'm condemned, but then it also tells me that I need a Savior. Too many religions are teaching people, if you're a good person, you're going to please God and you work your way to heaven. That's one of the biggest lies of the devil. Every false gospel is preaching and teaching a works salvation. You have to do something good to get saved or something good to stay saved, but neither of those are true because the gospel is a gift. Amen? Salvation's a gift, not because we deserve salvation, because we are the lawless and the disobedient. We are the ones that have broken God's law, not others, but we have, and because of that, we are in need of a Savior. The law tells us we are condemned. The law tells us we're guilty, but the law is what draws a sinner to the gospel and to Jesus Christ. See, in our sin, we deserve hell, and that's why Jesus Christ came to give us hope, to give us eternal life. I think when Jesus Christ came to that woman at the well and she came to get water that day, she came every day to get that water. But Jesus said, I came to give you living water. Why? Because she was a sinner in need of salvation. Too many people are trying to please God with their goodness instead of pleasing God by receiving Christ as their Savior. The glorious gospel came to undeserving sinners. In Matthew 19, you're welcome to turn there. Matthew 19 and verse number 16. One came to Jesus and said to him, in Matthew 19, 16, said, good master, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life? Think about his question there. What good thing may I do? Let me ask you this. What good thing can you do to inherit eternal life, church? What's the answer? Nothing. So he said, why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. But if thou wilt enter into life, keep his commandments. Do you think, wait a minute, God is contradicting himself. You've got to keep the commandments to go to heaven. Hold on till the end. He saith unto him, which commandment do I have to keep? You know, trying to get out of it maybe. Jesus said, thou shalt do no murder, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, honor thy father and thy mother, and thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. That's a big list to keep, never breaking it once. The young man said to him, all these things have I kept from my youth up, what lack I yet? What am I missing? You know, if you're searching for salvation by good works, you're always going to be lacking and searching for something. What am I missing? How come I don't have it? How do I get it? What if I lose it? Always feeling like you need something else, because you do. Jesus said unto him, if thou wilt be perfect, go and sell all that thou hast and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me. And when the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. God was showing him his covetousness, that he broke the law in his coveting and his possessions. He thought, he came to Jesus and said, I'm a good person. And he said, no, you're a sinner just like every other person in need of salvation. Mark chapter 2, verse 17, Jesus said, they that are whole have no need of the physician, but they that are sick. I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. See, you don't come to God and show God how good you are. You come to God and say, God, I'm a sinner in need of salvation. How do you please God? Well, first of all, with salvation. Salvation, receiving that gift of eternal life. And that's how you are. That's how anyone enters the family of God in heaven, is salvation the same way through Jesus Christ. The law points us to the gospel of salvation, but also it reminds us that to please God, you keep the law. Not in order to receive salvation, but to please God after you are saved. Not to get salvation, but because you are saved, you want to please God from your heart. You say, well, I don't have to obey every commandment in the Bible to go to heaven. No. No, you don't. Now, God's going to chastise and correct those that don't. You don't have to. But I believe that when God saves a soul, God changes your heart. You want to please Him. You want to do what's right. You want to obey and follow the law so that you would please the Lord. Now understand this. In verse number, in 1 Timothy chapter 1, I'll finish with this verse. In verse number 11, it says, according to the glorious gospel of the blessed God, which was committed to my trust. Think about that, Christian. The glorious gospel of the blessed God that was committed to my trust. God is pointing out the law is good, but that there's a lot of law-breaking people everywhere, sinners, which is all of us. You either are a forgiven sinner or an unforgiven sinner, either saved or lost. But you take the glorious gospel that God has given to you, and you take that which is committed to your trust. Every Christian has been entrusted with the gospel to share it with someone else. See, I'm a sinner and I'm deserving of hell. I understand the law and my guilt and what I deserve. But because of that, I understand the grace of God and the gift of God and how I need to then share the glorious gospel with another. We had a couple, I was able to share the gospel with them last night. And one of them so close to getting, both of them so close to getting saved. And one I think I'm saved. I said, I'm not here to tell you are or you're not. But just couldn't quite nail it down. And I said, tonight, just to settle that for sure. And then the lady and I witnessed her and said, I know I'm not saved. Wasn't quite ready to trust Christ as her Savior. And I've been praying for them, witnessing, and said, would you text me? Would you call me if you have a question? Or to tell me, praise the Lord, I got saved and I asked God to save me. I said, you can get saved in your house, in your car, in the park, wherever you are. You call out to God and God will save you. But I understand this. The gospel that was given to me is committed to my trust. To every single saved person, the commandment to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Why? Because there's sinners on their way to hell dying every single day. And it's our duty to take the gospel and to share that with others, to give them the light, that living water, and that hope of salvation, and to share it with this lost and dying world. See, this gospel was committed to my trust, but it's been committed to your trust as well. The good news of Jesus Christ, to share it with this lost and dying world. I've said it many times before, I'll say it again. What this world needs, it's not more laws and more conflicts resolved and more food. All those things are good, but what the world truly needs is salvation. What's going to change this world is the gospel given to one person at a time, and that person is saved. And that person takes the gospel and shares it with another, and that person gets saved. We're still sinners in the end, but we're forgiven. Amen? God's not going to judge me according to my works, but according to His grace, that His blood has forgiven me of all my sin. And we are to take that gift that God has given to each and every one of us and to share that with another.